Yo, what is up, Chump Nation? Welcome back to the Fantasy Chumps podcast. It is me, Layton, as always, or at least most of the time, minus one episode. Joining me is only one person today. Nate, how are you doing?
Hey, I'm doing well. It's I just kind of now noticed, since I was kind of hosting last week, I totally forgot to introduce everybody. So I had one shot, one opportunity, and I blew it, as Eminem said.
Wait, what did you forget to do?
I forgot to introduce everybody. I literally just started rambling.
Last time?
Yeah, I think I got nervous as the host. Yeah, so my bad on that, everybody. I mean, no surprises. It was the same old, but I'm doing well, man. It's the best time of the year, I think. When college basketball is getting back into the swing of things, like football's getting good now. We're kind of on the home stretch. Even college football. This might be the first year I've actually been somewhat invested in college football.
For TCU, and right?
Yeah, I'm down to cheer for TCU right now.
Heck,
like,
yeah.
Quentin Johnson is him.
Dude, gave him a fist bump. You already knew that, but I had to flex on the pod. Future Chief, Quentin Johnson. Just kidding, he's probably going to be a top 10 pick. But, dude, I was thinking about it. It's kind of exciting because we'll get to see him get drafted.
Oh, yeah, we will, because draft is in Kansas City next year. Let's ride.
Might have to do a live pod at the draft. I am just kidding. But, yeah, it is it's exciting times.
We also got the World Cup in, like, a week.
Dude, I was just about to say that.
Yeah, I keep forgetting about that.
The World Cup will be exciting. Honestly, part of me, I don't know what it is. It's around this time in the football season, during the regular season, I get kind of like, it's the most stale, in my opinion.
This time of the NFL season?
Yeah, because like we're, you know, the beginning of the season, you're just excited football's back and that you can watch it all day. And it's like at this point, you're kind of like, can we just kind of like speed up to the playoffs or like, you know, getting close to, like, for some reason, like, if the Chiefs would have lost to Tennessee, I wouldn't have been like, oh no. Because,
I think you're right. At this point in the season, it's like teams are kind of what they are. Like, you might get hot by the end of the year, but like, you're not going to really change a whole lot at this point. Like, I do kind of agree. That's kind of a spoiled take as Chiefs fans too, where it's just like we have this sense that there's no meaningful games until postseason.
I didn't see there wasn't any meaningful games. It's just I don't feel
– yeah,
because
in
the early part of the season, everybody overreacts to everything. And so those games feel big. And then the ones closer to playoffs, it's like, okay, all right, Jim. The Chiefs win this. They're hosting the AFC. It runs through Kansas City again, Jim. It's a 4th-and-2 during the second quarter, Jim. The game's on the line. Watch out for a fullback dive. Michael Burton here, Jim. Jim, you think they're going to do it? Oh, it's a 1st down, Jim. Good call, Tony.
Literally. That is so perfect. Calling it in the second quarter of, like, week 10. Like, this has Super Bowl implications.
But – yeah, because then, like, you know, week 14, 15 on, you're kind of like, okay, like we actually need to win this because Buffalo just lost to the Jets or whatever. So, you know, I still get excited for every game day. Don't get me wrong. It's just kind of interesting. I think it's also post-bye week. You know, I didn't really follow it that much this week. But good news, back to fantasy. I won this week. I beat Chase.
You still have a chance to make the playoffs, like an outside shot.
Yeah, it's not holding my breath, but I do. So we'll see.
You got to win out, basically, right?
Oh,
You need a lot of help
to have a chance. Yeah, I have to win out.
Yeah,
the trade deadline's over, so it's kind of all on it's all on me. But we actually have a question of the pod, courtesy of Chase, actually. And what he was asking about is basically how much to give up for Travis Kelce. And Nate, I know you're in this group text as well, but He is potentially planning to offer Alvin Kamara and Brandon Ayuk for Travis Kelce and Brandon Cooks. I know you were, I don't want to say more in favor of it, but you're more kind of excited about it. So what, you know, I'll let you kind of lead it off.
Yeah. So yeah, Chase is kind of in trade talks right now for Travis Kelce, and the kind of pieces that he would be giving up are Kamara, who's what, an RB10 right now through the first 9 weeks, and Brandon Ayuk, who's honestly been pretty, like, kind of quietly solid as like a top 20 receiver. I feel very strongly about this. I feel like maybe too much. I might be too bullish on this, but if I have the opportunity to get Kelce, this is also kind of given where Chase's team is at. And we have the privilege of being able to look at his roster right now and see that he has a very deep team, has a lot of quality pieces on his bench that he's not really playing. And really the only weakness I see is his tight end. So I am like, I would be grossly overpaying if I had to get Travis Kelce, because I think that makes him the best team in the league. I don't know how else he could really I mean, that positional advantage at tight end, I think, is so important, especially if you have a couple pieces that you can give away and not really take too much of a hit, I suppose.
Travis Kelce, I think you got a first round pick next year.
Oh, yeah.
You can lock that down. But what I also agreed you should trade. I tried to say, because he has Darren Waller on his team, has been hurt the past couple weeks. I tried to like say, hey, just throw in Darren Waller, big name, you know, talk up the fact he's coming off injury and try to like maybe not trade like an Alvin Kamara, you know, maybe see if there's some wiggle room with that, but just, you know, instead of offering an Alvin Kamara, you could offer like your third best running back, Darren Waller and Ayuk or something like that. So just kind of, you know, thinking out loud, trying to help him out. But I definitely think Kelce's the difference maker, right? I think next year, we'll get into it this offseason, you're going to see like Kelce and Andrews probably go in the late first, early second, like as average. You're going to have Josh Allen, Mahomes, and, you know, Lamar Jackson probably in the top three.
Jalen Hurts.
And then you're going to see receivers scoot up. So, yeah, it's definitely a great positional advantage to have.
Yeah, no, and I thought the interesting thing here was when we were kind of talking with Chase, I was kind of saying that I think that's a great first offer is Ayuk and Kamara. But, like, also, this is kind of how I approach trades, is I try and put out what I think the minimum I would want to give up that might kind of get them to bite, like might entice them a little bit.
Sell them on the idea.
Yeah. So one for one, Kamara for Kelce is pretty fair. I think with the positional advantage of Kelce at tight end, Kamara for Kelce straight up isn't going to get the deal done. I think you're going to have to sprinkle in a little bit more. And so Ayuk might be good. I still feel like people aren't really buying the hype on him right now. But so like I always try and determine what my max pay would be. Like, what is the most I'd be willing to give up? Kind of something you can keep in your vest pocket a little bit when you're negotiating. So
Jacoby Myers.
Yeah, Jacoby Myers. I think he might be like the next step. If Jacoby was better than Ayuk or somebody liked him more, I would give up Jacoby happily. I would honestly, just based off what Chase's team looks like, he's got A.J. Brown, Mike Evans, Chris Olave, Terry McLaurin. He also has, we haven't mentioned this yet, Mixon on the bench, who's on bye this week. But that is an extremely deep team. I would really probably, if it would get the deal done, I would give up Kamara and Olave Terry. Or McLaurin.
Yeah, I'd give up Terry over Olave, if I'm being honest.
That's probably it. It's like the max maybe then would be Chris Olave. It's like at that point, I can't do it. I'd rather just take the risk with Waller. Hopefully he gets healthy and pans out.
Right. No, I agree. But I thought it was a good kind of question to start. So definitely keep sending them in. Chase, appreciate you reaching out. And, Nate, you kind of had some things to to discuss for today's kind of, I guess, topic for the show. So why don't you go on ahead?
All right, I can go on ahead. But yeah, this episode is going to be a little less fantasy focused, but it might have some fantasy application. It's going to be more kind of around the whole NFL. We're going to get into we're going to discuss maybe some of the most surprising teams so far, for better or worse, obviously. A couple teams that have surprised us positively, a couple teams that have surprised us with maybe how bad they've played so far, and then maybe a couple players from those teams or from other teams that have kind of been impressive or disappointing to this point. But then we'll get into some – this is all because it's the midseason or the midway point in the season. So we're halfway there, so we're going to kind of look at some midseason awards for players across the NFL. But, Leighton, I kind of wanted to tee this up for you.
Sure.
Who has been a pleasantly surprising team to this point compared to what you're – kind of preseason expectations were?
I was going to say, compared to my expectations or everybody else?
Whichever.
Because, all right, I'll take a small victory lap and I'll answer the question. The Minnesota Vikings being 7-1, nobody would have believed you if you had told them that week one. Mm-hmm. Granted, I said they would win the division. I was very confident in that. I even did not think they'd be 7-1. I'll just talk about Minnesota. I love their GM. I cannot pronounce his name. It's like Adofa Mincy something something. He's very, very smart guy. I think he went to like Harvard. Great GM. He knows how to build a roster. And that we saw that with the addition of TJ Hockenson, right? Mm-hmm. They kind of did a very interesting, unique trade. But the GM is very data analytics driven. And we actually did a trade, including TJ Hockenson. Did you see how many catches he got?
He had like 8, right, or something?
He had 8 catches for like 90-some yards. And, you know, obviously that's not – you're not winning your week based on that. But if you would have told me that, you know, that when I traded for him, I would have had that performance his first week with the team, I would have said – okay, that sounds great. So, yeah, I was I'm pleasantly surprised with, I guess, how great he has been integrated into the offense. But, you know, obviously the usuals of Jefferson and Cooks. But it's they're all playing very well over there or up there in New York.
No, I mean, I think that's a pretty easy one there. Vikings being great. We were both kind of on the Vikings preseason. We can kind of take our victory lap. But, yeah, very impressive so far. Good to see TJ Hockenson getting integrated. What were you going to say?
I was going to say, like, who's been surprising you? Because I feel like there's been a lot of surprising teams, like, with good records that, we have I don't want to steal your thunder, but, like, there's the Jets, the Giants, you know, kind of the Dolphins, too. I don't know where you're going to go with it.
And I think that was exactly where I was going to go with it, was one of those New York teams. I would probably say the Jets more so. I think the Jets have been really impressive so far. They've definitely had their flashes of old New York Jets not really looking too great. I'm thinking mostly against the Patriots, but yeah. I think Belichick's always been able to – he's just probably the best game planner there is. So you can't really knock him there for that performance, but – I think the Jets have been very impressive so far, especially with how their defense has looked. I mean, you hold Buffalo to 17 points in a divisional matchup. It was at home, which was great, but they got down 14-3, I think, and literally held Buffalo and Josh Allen to 3 points the rest of the game and forced 2 picks and forced a fumble. It was very impressive. I think the secondary is solid. I think they've got a complimentary offense. It's just like it comes down to Zach Wilson not making game-changing mistakes, essentially. Right. And I think it's unfortunate that Breece Hall had to go out, because that is like the perfect kind of system, I think, having a high-powered – or not a high-powered defense, but just a solid defense and an offense that can chew clock, get points, put the other team kind of like the Titans played us the other night. It's just it makes it hard on the other team. You kind of force their hand. So
I would say more talent on offense, probably. Yeah.
And I think I'd probably trust the Jets a little bit more than the Giants right now. I think they're both well coached, though. It's kind of crazy to think that it's going to be hard, given where they are, even given the record right now. It's going to be hard for both those teams to make the playoffs. There's just not a lot of wild card spots to go around.
Exactly. I want to take a small, quick victory lap because I defended Joe Douglas for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Not just kind of with our friend group, because I remember everybody was like, "Oh, the Jets are just terrible." I'm like, "They have a good GM. They'll be good soon." And then mm-hmm. he knocked the last draft out of the park. So, yeah, I definitely agree. So, did you have a quick one? We probably shouldn't labor on the negative too much. Well, what's been your most disappointing team so far, though, Nate?
Oh, there's a few. I think it's got to come from expectations just like around the media preseason. Yes. So I think a lot of attention was on the AFC West for kind of that it could really be anybody's division. I think it's got to – this is hard. I honestly think I'm going to go with the Raiders. And I wanted to go with the Broncos just – but they're like they're still in it, you could say. Like they have they're in shouting distance of a wild card spot, but they would need dramatic changes there, and I don't think they're coming. But like, are the Raiders 2-6 right now?
Yep.
Yeah, it's like I don't
know. They're in the playoffs last year. Added Devontae Adams and Chandler Jones, and they're 2-6. Well, and a new coach, Josh McDaniels, might get fired after this year.
And I'm not going to spend too much time on it, but I think it's got to be the Raiders. Like you said, it's like I thought that they were making upgrades across the board, but their defense has looked really bad. And, I mean, they had a really good opportunity against Jacksonville last week, got an early lead. I think it was a 3-score lead, actually, and then just blew it. Yeah, and blew it. So I think it's got to be the Raiders. I would say close second would be Broncos, though.
Yeah, so my team is the team that won the Super Bowl, the Los Angeles Rams. Woof. Not to spend too long, Andrew Whitworth retiring, nobody's talking about that, and that's, I think, 70% of the reason why they're doing so bad. Their offensive line's terrible. They can't run the ball. Their backup left tackle tore his, like, ACL, I think. Joseph Noteboom, go Frogs. So they're obviously not – they've even gotten worse. So they're not – I don't think they're going to make the playoffs.
No, I don't think there's any chance, honestly.
No, definitely not.
I mean, it's just I don't see a path with either of those teams for, like, improvement. I think with L.A. or with Vegas at least, like, the offensive firepower is there. The defense just really needs to play a lot better. Offense needs to be a little bit more consistent. But, like, I mean, they took the Chiefs down to the wire, so it's like they've got that in them. But with their record now, it's like I don't think it's there.
No.
But the Rams, oh, my gosh, just gross. Not been pretty at all. But so let's stick with the negative for a little bit.
Okay.
Do you have a player right now that's been maybe the most disappointing player? This could be more fantasy focused. It doesn't have to be, though. But is there one player in particular that's just really been disappointing for you? If you need to think, I've got one.
You go first because I have a few. So,
all right. Well, I'm gonna go with Aaron Rodgers.
Oh,
I think So this is also just another team that's been extremely disappointing. I feel like that might have been your runner-up, perhaps, if you were going to pick one. But they are 3-6 right now, I believe.
Is
that right?
Uh-huh.
Yep. I wish I had some stats.
When was the last time the Packers have been 3-6? Like, that's never happened in our lives.
It definitely hasn't. No.
But, Definitely not.
But yeah.
So Aaron Rodgers for you.
Yep, Aaron Rodgers for me. So he's still got that little touchdown to interception ratio that he's working on. I mean, 14-7, it's not terrible, but he's played a very conservative style of football so far, not taking many shots down the field, which is kind of what their style has been in years past. But it's not really, I'd say you could put half of it on him, more like 25% on him, the other 75% just on the rest of the offense. Like he really has no weapons to work with. I mean, when Alan Lazard's your number one wide receiver, and he's a solid player, I think. I mean, he was a great number two to Devonta, but there's clearly not a lot of trust built there between him and his rookie wide receivers and the other veterans that they brought in. They're having to really lean into the running game. But they kind of become a little bit one-dimensional. I really don't think that they have a chance to make the playoffs. You and I both listened to Colin Cowherd quite a bit. I think he's a pretty good sports talk show guy. But he was kind of mentioning the other day that one of these veteran quarterback-led teams in the NFC is going to find a way, referring to Aaron Rodgers, Matthew Stafford, and Tom Brady and their respective teams. One of these teams is going to find a way to turn their season around, lead their team into the playoffs, and when it comes down to those win-or-go-home scenarios, they're probably going to prevail against some of the younger quarterbacks in the NFC in the playoffs. And I thought there was a chance that they could turn it around, but they're kind of running out of time. I think that pendulum's kind of shifted. Yeah, I think out of any of those, I think really the Bucks are maybe the only ones that have a chance to turn it around and sneak in. So Aaron Rodgers definitely been a little bit of a disappointment so far.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Honestly, I didn't really know where to go because there's kind of a lot. I'm gonna go with Jonathan Taylor.
A great one.
I know he's been hurt, but just the season he and just the rest of the Colts have had has just been so bad. Like, if you drafted him first overall, don't know who would have done that. But it's I did, by the way, but. Basically, my team in that league is basically done. I've managed to stick around, make some good trades, but it's not looking great. So he's been a huge bust. I mean, is he even would you draft him in the second round next year, Nate?
No.
I mean, he's probably going to be a third round pick, right?
Yes. I feel like you'd have to if he fell into your lap, but I wouldn't feel great about it.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think we were on to this too preseason, though. I mean, it was his RB1 year was, by all stats, was the worst for any RB in a while, for any RB1 in several years. So it wasn't like he kind of shocked the league. He just kind of was in a pretty good system behind a good offensive line, and just volume touches got him there.
Yeah, exactly. So he's been my most disappointing. Who's been your most surprising so far, though, Nate?
This is just going to be twofold, and I'm going to make it quick. I would say it's going to be the Miami wide receivers and Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle. I mean, I think we all knew that those wide receivers were talented. We're going to have a good season. We're going to be fantasy relevant. I didn't expect them to be the number one wide receiver in Tyreek Hill and the number seven wide receiver in Jalen Waddle through 9 weeks. I kind of didn't trust Tua a whole lot going into the year. I didn't really know if he was going to be the guy to make them the most effective receiver talent they could be. But yeah, I'd say they have definitely done that so far.
Yeah, my most surprising player, if we would have said this a week ago, would have made more sense. But I have to say, man, I'm really sticking on the running back train. No, I'm going to change that. Geno Smith with the Seattle Seahawks. If you'd have told me the Seahawks would be leading the NFC West after 8 weeks, I would not have believed you. You know, the Will Ferrell Anchorman gift? I don't believe you. And that's, like, their whole situation's been shocking. Credit to the GM for a great draft and Geno Smith for just playing very, very well. But out of left field for me. So that's kind of where I stand on that. But good definitely. For them.
No, good for them. I think Geno's a pretty easy guy to root for.
I think so.
So I've been impressed with the Seahawks so far, and they are going to be good next year.
Oh, yeah, we can talk about it in the offseason.
All right, so we're going to get into some mid-season awards so far, so kind of some of the big ones that the NFL gives out at the end of the season. We're going to look at it through the first 9 weeks. And so we're going to start this off with the MVP conversation through 9 weeks. Layden, who is your NFL MVP to this point?
Well, it has to be the best player in the NFL at the best position, right?
I think I know where you're going with this.
Yeah, so it has to be Derek Carr. if without him, the Raiders would be 0-8. No, I'm just obviously kidding. It's Patrick Mahomes, guys. Like, obviously we're biased. He's the best quarterback in the NFL. It's undeniable. And especially he has the offseason narrative of losing, which especially this year, Tyreek Hill is clearly a top five, if not higher guy in the NFL at wide receiver. You know, some might even say he's the best, but I think he's top three. So when a guy like Mahomes, who's already, you know, really good, loses Tyreek Hill to another team, and he's putting up the numbers he is. I mean, he's projected to have career high in passing yards. And he's, I think it was 45 touchdowns at this point. But, like, his touchdown to interception ratio is great. And if you watch that game against the Titans, he just willed them to a victory. So, I think it's a slam dunk. So, that's kind of where I'm at. Nate, did you want to –
No, I'm definitely in agreement with you there. I think MVP, I think a lot of it's determined by just the stat sheet, you know, kind of how many touchdowns have you thrown, passing yards, interceptions, and everything.
What's your record?
Then again, it's team success too. So what's your record? I mean, like, how's your offense regarded around the league and whatnot? So
it's basically the best quarterback on the best team now, which is kind of a little lame, but I get it.
I kind of hate the award and kind of how they get to it. But I think, by looking at that Titans game from Sunday night, I mean, I think it's hard to argue that there is a more valuable player in the league than Mahomes. I think that the Chiefs' offense kind of went up against a defense that really played them perfectly. And really kind of made it hard on them, took away kind of maybe what they're best at. And also, I mean, just they really put the game in Mahomes' hands and didn't make it easy for him. I mean, wide receivers weren't creating much separation. Somehow he still threw for almost 450 yards, ran for like just under 70 on the ground, had a huge performance, willed that team to victory. I think we're both kind of homers here. I think Jalen Hurts has had a really good season so far. The stats are going to look a little bit different there just because he's not going to throw for as many touchdown passes, but he's probably one of the most talented runners in the game, I would say. And then Josh Allen's up there too. I can't put them, either of them, above Mahomes at this point. Especially, I mean, both of those teams have really good defenses too. I mean, probably top five defenses in the league. And the Chiefs defense is playing well, but I don't think you can say that they're a juggernaut right now. So, a little bit of bias on that one, but it's the right answer. There's only one.
You want to hear some real bias? Offensive player of the year, Tyreek Hill. He's on pace to break Calvin Johnson's single season receiving yard total. And I know what people think, because I think it too. Oh, well, he has an extra game to do it, right? Yes, but he's on pace to break it in 16 games. So he could not play his 17th game, and he's projected to beat that. So the reason for that is obviously just all the numbers he's putting up, and coupled with the fact that it's with Tua, I think that's a pretty easy choice so far this season.
I mean, it's insane. He honestly might be in the MVP conversation if he keeps this up.
I mean,
he has 1,100 yards right now.
In how many games?
And have they had their bye week yet?
Yes.
So through 8 games, he's at 1,100 yards.
Yep. So that he's, yeah.
That's insane. I think that's pretty easy there too. I would probably want to say Tyreek Hill as well.
Who'd be your second choice then?
I mean, I don't think it can come from the running back group right now. I think running backs have been a little bit underwhelming. I think there's definitely going to be a couple running backs, maybe in one of these other awards down towards the bottom that we're going to get into. Mm-hmm. But I don't think they're there right now. I really don't know. You could even say like Travis Kelce is up there.
I would say Travis Kelce is the second.
I think he's got to be a close second. I mean, Cooper Kupp has obviously been great. Team hasn't been awesome. Stephon Diggs is a little bit up and down, but yeah, I think it's got to be Tyreek Hill or Travis Kelce at this point. But who has been your offensive rookie of the year at this point? Had a lot of pretty good rookies on the offensive side of the ball.
Yeah, I think that's pretty easy for me. It's Chris Olave. Mm-hmm. Obviously, before Breece Hall got hurt, he was walking away with the award. But mm-hmm. Chris Olave's put up really good numbers with, I think, two or three different quarterbacks now, and he's been consistently good. Clearly, in my opinion, looks like the best offensive receiver in the draft so far. That's where I'd go with that one. Nate, do you have a different opinion on this one?
Yeah, I think there are really three that maybe had a chance, and Chris Olave mm-hmm. was definitely one of them. Sad Breece Hall got injured because I think he was kind of sprinting away with that one. He had a really good start to the season. But you could also make an argument for Damian Pierce and Kenneth Walker. Kind of tough with Kenneth Walker because he was injured to begin the year. Yeah. So won't really have those stats to show, but I think when you watch Kenneth Walker play, that dude's got juice. Like, he is a really talented running back. Damian Pierce is kind of a volume shooter right now, but after watching the game against Philly last Thursday, I mean, that dude runs hard, and he does not go down. Damian Pierce, baby. But no, I'm probably in agreement with you. Chris Olave, kind of him and Kamara are just carrying that offense along. So, but no, I definitely like Chris Olave for that pick. He might emerge as one of the like Justin Jefferson type receivers, I think. Like, he is that talented. And I kind of overlooked him coming out of college.
Yeah, I think a lot of people did. But with the amount that they gave up, I think they're pretty confident with what they were getting with him.
Yep.
So,
all right.
Defense. Quickly, because it's defense.
Yeah. All right. You want to start us off with this one?
For the defensive player of the year?
Sure.
Yeah, I have. Honestly, I don't know if there's been anybody that's like a slam dunk.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to say like Micah Parsons right now. He's just been the force behind the Cowboys, I think. When Dak was out, I think he was just dominant, if I'm being honest. And he really almost carried that team on the defensive side of the ball to win. And like, he's really good. So that's where I'd go with him.
Yeah, I would probably want to go there too. I was trying to pull up some odds right now to see what it's looking like through the
first nine.
Like weeks. Nick Bosa's up there, I think, in the odds, and I'm just like, Nick Bosa hasn't like done anything amazing, in my opinion. He's still good, but he's hurt. Not like he has the stats to really back it up, so it's, you know, it's a little bit tougher.
I'll go with Micah Parsons there. I don't really think there's anybody else that's been running away with this one. So do you have a defensive rookie of the year? I think this is a more interesting conversation. There's been a lot of pretty good rookies on the defensive side.
This is so easy to me. I know there's been a lot of good rookies on defense. This has to be Sauce Gardner of the Jets.
Yeah.
He is so good. I asked you guys the other day if he's a top 10 cornerback already. And I know that's crazy to honestly say, but if you look at the stats, I saw this on Twitter today. When the Jets have played man coverage, Sauce Gardner has allowed 4 catches for 45 yards in man coverage. That's absurd. He's clearly taking away half the field. I honestly think next year, if not later this year, they're just going to have him follow the best receiver around. Like, he's that good. He had the pick against Josh Allen this past week. He baited him into that throw. It was great defense. And I was a big fan of him coming out of college, because even in the playoff game when Alabama played Cincinnati and Alabama won, they just completely ignored his side of the field when throwing the ball. It was so obvious. It was honestly kind of funny, but that's what they did. And, you know, I think it's him by a mile, but I know there's a lot of other good players out there too.
No, he's definitely got to be he is the favorite right now by Vegas odds. Sauce Gardner to win defensive rookie of the year is at -115. So he is definitely leading that right now. He's closely followed by Tariq Woolen, actually, from the Seahawks.
He's been really good too.
He has also been really good. I think what you said, though, that's pretty rare in the NFL, I think, when you can get a cornerback that literally just cancels one side of the field. Like, mm-hmm. quarterbacks do not want to contest you. That's Jalen Ramsey material right there, where you just kind of totally neutralize that part of the offense. Aiden Hutchinson's been playing really well lately. I think he probably came out as the defensive rookie of the year favorite to start the season. Mm-hmm. He had to be up there at least. So sure, I'll go with Aiden Hutchinson for now. I think probably should be Ahmad Gardner or Sauce Gardner. But yeah, that's going to be a pretty tight race as we get down the stretch. Kayvon Thibodeau too, been playing well.
He's been playing good. He's another guy I thought of. But yeah, no, there's been a lot of really good players.
All right. So this one, not a player-related award, but who would be your NFL coach of the year to this point? Who do you think has done the best with what they're working with?
So it's kind of interesting, because I would think it should be Brian Daboll, but there's so many options. You could pick Nick Sirianni. You could pick Mike McDaniel of the Dolphins, Robert Saleh of the Jets. Those are kind of your top four. I would probably lean Brian Daboll, because I think that is the weakest roster of the bunch. And, I mean, this team last year, do you remember what pick they had, Nate? They had picked like 6. Like, they were the 6th worst team in the NFL. And they're, you know, they have a winning record with Daniel Jones. They've beaten some good teams. And, you know, I'm not saying they're going to win the Super Bowl, but just what he's done in his first year has been incredible. So I would personally give it to him. He's probably not going to win it, because they're probably going to give it to Mike McDaniel or Robert Saleh, if I had to guess.
Yeah. No, I think you kind of nailed it. It's hard through 9 weeks, just because if I'm still looking at it, I think, for the rest of the season a little bit. And so it's like you're trying to think of these teams. It's like, do they really have a chance of keeping this up throughout the year? I think those guys that you listed definitely do. I think Nick Sirianni's done an unbelievable job. It's kind of been a 2-year development for them. They took big strides last year, barely getting into the playoffs. And then this year, I mean, they're an actual powerhouse. Mm-hmm. But I would actually argue that the coach of the year this year should be Pete Carroll from the Seahawks. I think he has done an unbelievable job there. I think they were probably
talked about the Seahawks too. Sorry.
For the chumps, I think they we would probably
shout out to Connor.
Yeah, shout out to Connor. Oh yeah, happy birthday, Connor. That's
happy
friend of the
birthday,
show.
Dude.
Connor Olson. He's out in Vegas right now. He said he played some golf today. He's hitting the tables tonight, I think. So good luck to you out there. Yeah. Also, Connor, I appreciate your friendship and I appreciate your dynasty trades, buddy. But So Connor's a big Seahawks fan, but I would say I think Pete Carroll really has a chance to be coach of the year. I think, you know, you, John, and I probably were in agreement that the Seahawks were a bottom four team going into the season. I did not love the quarterback situation, and it wasn't even always going to be Geno Smith. It might have been Drew Lock for a while. And I mean, Kenneth Walker gets hurt preseason, doesn't play the first few games. I don't know. They've got talent. We've come to find out that they just absolutely killed their draft. Got a lot of really good pieces, and I think they're going to be a super good, young, talented team going forward.
John Snyder.
And do you know what's their draft capital looking like for next year? Aren't they just loaded?
Yeah, because they have the Broncos' first-round pick. They have their own first-round pick. And you can even just stop there. You know, even if they just have 2 through 7 normally, to have that second first round pick for the Broncos, which right now is in the top 10.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because this is a more of an offseason discussion, but if you keep Geno Smith, if he keeps playing like this, I mean, you're not taking quarterback and there's going to be a lot of quarterbacks taken up high. So, you know, they could get, you know, what if like a Will Anderson falls to them, or if they trade up to like 4 or 5 for Will Anderson or somebody like that. Or maybe they get friend of the show, Quentin Johnston.
Oh,
I don't know why they need him. They have
that would be a dirty wide receiving core.
Tyler Lockett, and their offensive line's already set. They're going to draft a defensive player, probably D lineman, with that pick. So, I don't really even know what to say because they're in a really good spot. They look like geniuses with the Russell Wilson trade right now. So. You know, good on them.
You know what? The more we're talking about this, Pete Carroll's a lock for Coach of the Year, I think. They went 7-10 last year with Russell Wilson, a little bit injured last year. They went 7-10, last in the NFC West. I think it was clear that Pete Carroll was on the hot seat. You know, job was in question. Job was on the line. They make the Russell Wilson trade. And, I mean, the Seahawks were the clear winner of that. I mean, I think they got away from him at the right time. Kind of makes you question, you know, maybe some of their history with Russell Wilson, you know, where mistakes should be attributed to, whatnot. You can go about that however you want. But to be leading the NFC West right now, really a pretty tough division. I think we can all agree. I think he really deserves it. I would say honorable mention to maybe Mike Vrabel. He's like always going to be in the coach of the year question, I think.
Yeah.
The Titans just don't really get that much respect.
Yeah. It's just because the Titans. And one of the things that's kind of annoying about the coach of the year is like the true best coach never wins. Cause like Andy Reid's not winning that. Bill Belichick's not going to win it. You know, it's Sean McDermott's not going to win. So, you know, it's kind of like who's the best compared to last year.
Exactly.
Like who made the biggest difference? So your team has to be bad and then be good. So that's why it has to be one of those guys, which that's why I guess I don't say I argue, but that's kind of why I push more towards them. Cause like the Seahawks weren't awful last year. They were 7-10. Mm-hmm. So that was basically it.
No, yeah, they really weren't awful, but it's yeah, it's kind of an interesting award. It's got you got to kind of look at it as a team that's coming back, which is a good segue for our last award, comeback player of the year. Layden, you got a comeback player for me?
Saquon Barkley.
Yep. I think that's a great answer. I'm going to go.
I'm just taking all the long-hanging fruit, man. I apologize.
You are. I need to start going first.
Well, hey, you're asking me, man. And, you know, we've run a little long, so that's kind of why I just gave a quick answer.
All right.
But go ahead. Well, No, say what you want.
Can I say Christian McCaffrey?
Yeah.
Is he considered a comeback player?
You can say it. It's our podcast. You can say whatever you want. Well, then don't say whatever you want. It's election night.
Yeah, no, I'm going to go with Christian McCaffrey. It's kind of a weird one just because he's, like, bounced around. Like, he's on the 49ers now, so it feels a little weird doing that. But he's still had a really good season. I think he's around RB2 or 3 at this point in the season with the bye on their schedule. So I think he's been really good. But yeah, I think that is going to wrap it up for us.
I think so. Well, thank you guys for listening again. Follow us on Instagram at fantasy_chumps. I'm not gonna lie, we are a little bit less active because John deleted Instagram, so it's just two of us watching instead of three. But Nate and I are still on it. So send us questions. You know, we were talking with Ben and Chase obviously before this about some trades. So we're here to help. You know, we enjoy talking about it. So let us know what we can do, and you know, good luck this week in your matchups.
Let's go, boys. And girls. I have to say that. I'm in a family league with four girls, and they're killing it. I got smoked by my sister this week. She absolutely buried me.
Oh, my gosh. So we'll have to talk about that on the next podcast.
All right. I'd rather not, but okay.
All right. Well, thanks, guys.
Thanks, guys.